Join me this morning in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. As you're getting there, think about the words we've just sung together. You shall be my only glory. Let that be true for each of us. I invite you to think with me about several places in chapter 6, but first, I'll just remind you of the way the Gospel of John begins back in chapter 1. Right, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We remember that language. We know also in that same chapter, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, glory of the only begotten, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now we come to a strange story. In fact, the people who hear the story at first are troubled by its strangeness, so troubled that they walk away. You recall we're in the setting where Jesus has fed a multitude. Then the next day they track him down and want to know what's going on. Where have you been? How did you get here? And he says, you're not following me because of a sign of my authority, my deed performed yesterday. No, you're following because you want bread to eat. You don't get it. You're interested in bread. Just like the woman at the well in chapter 4, when Jesus talks to her and says, I have water that wells up to eternal life. She says, give me this water so I don't have to come back to this well. She's thinking about water in a well. The people are thinking about full bellies. When he challenges them about that, they remember the story from days of old when manna from heaven fed them. In fact, they're so proud of what they know, they quote. And so join me. I'm in verse 31 of chapter 6 of John. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So here you start raising questions about what is bread, and they'll go with you a bit. It's not, is it sign? Is it food? Is it symbol? Is it a story from our past? But Jesus then said to them in verse 32, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. Then we see these words, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. But you notice a little progression that goes on here through two or three verses. First, there is this puzzle about what bread is. Then we go to the Old Testament and we know about manna as bread from heaven that he gives. Well, who is the he? And what does Jesus say? It was not Moses that gave you that bread, but God did. See, that's part of your confusion is you forget that it's all about God. You forget. But look at this. And then in verse 33, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Now we're talking about the bread. The bread is not man in the wilderness. It is he who comes. And then their answer, sir, give us this bread always. We want it. Sounds pretty good. We want it. And then he says, I am the bread of life. I am the one who was sent. He who comes down from heaven. I'm that one. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Then he continues in verse 38, for I have come down from heaven. There again, that insistence of the vector, where he comes from. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Those are words we hear later in the garden. Let this cup pass from me, but it's not for my will. It's not what I want, it's what you want. It is the will of God. And here he says it again. That's what drives this one who comes from heaven. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. Join me now and further down. Verse 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. And then he goes on, I am the bread of life. Second time, he reminds us of that. Your fathers ate the manna and they died. That's the stuff you brag about, and you should. But it had its fulfillment, it had its purpose, it had its end. This, in the next verse, this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. We're changing the game, and you don't understand this yet. I am the living bread, a third time, but he adds the word, or he changes the bread of life to living bread that came down from heaven, from God, from heaven, for life. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Look at this progression that we've seen already in John. Word, flesh, bread, flesh. All of these things are said about this one who speaks to these gathered people. The Jews grumble, right? As they've already grumbled back in 42, they grumbled, who is this guy? Isn't this Joseph's boy? We know about him. How can he say he's from heaven? And we're told 52, the Jews disputed among themselves. How can this guy give us flesh to eat? This is weird business. We're talking cannibalism. Truly. And then Jesus, he doesn't retreat. He emphasizes it even more directly. Look what he says in 53. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoa, that's weird. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood, he says it again, has eternal life. And that's when he tells us this, my flesh is true bread. Weird. My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood, he's the one who abides. He's the one who lives in me and I in him. I just heard one of the men sitting here about to service talking about a class saying, it's a heart issue. Do you understand? If your heart's not right, you cannot see this. You cannot see, but bread is bread, flesh is flesh, and the spirit, I don't know what this stuff is. How could flesh be bread. In fact, the people listening say this. Look in verse 60. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen? Who can understand this switch? Word, God, flesh, bread, flesh. And Jesus says, knowing that they're grumbling, second time that word appears, do you take offense? then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life." Listen to the progression. Word, God, flesh, bread, flesh, word. We're back to word. The word that I have spoken. Do you understand? And for us, many of us here gathered this morning, the word has given us Spirit and life. They have shaped our hearts enough so that we can receive the understanding of what God says here. I am the bread of life. It is not an idea. It is not a concept. It is not knowledge. It is a person embodied. The word became flesh and dwelled among us. But there are some of you here who do not believe, Jesus said to that group. Verse 66, this is a strange one. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Brothers and sisters, we have not turned back here. We have gathered. We have not been those who no longer walk. We walk. We walk in the name of the Son of God. We walk in the way that he called us to walk. We walk as our newly shaped hearts make us walk. We cannot walk any other way because the words of life have come to us. And we know that. Remember, Peter speaks now. Jesus says to his closer group, the 12, says, "Do you want to leave too, like these disciples are leaving?" And Peter, who makes so many mistakes, also says such wonderful things. We can rejoice. We can rejoice in what he says. Simon Peter answered him. I'm in verse 68. "Lord, to whom? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." The words that you have that have been brought to you, you brought with you from heaven and lived them in your flesh. You have spoken them to us. And we know that you have the words of eternal life. Next verse goes on. "And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Then I'll take you back to something that appears four times in this passage. I've only listed three verses. I missed one. The one I missed is in verse 40. And I'm going to back to that verse now, verse 40. "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." Four times in this passage, Jesus refers to the raising up on the last day. I invite you this morning to understand that we have come to a moment, a now. In Matthew 3, our reading for this week, Jesus is baptized. So now all righteousness can be fulfilled. Now is the moment for us to proclaim that Jesus is the Word that was God. Jesus is the Word that became flesh. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the true bread, the flesh of Jesus. And remember what he says back in verse 51, "And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The blood of Jesus, the flesh of Jesus, are our hope. He's done his work. In one of our songs we sang this morning, "Loving kindness as a tide." That loving kindness, that's that covenant loyalty, that's that faithfulness. And you understand that Jesus, who came from heaven, sent by the Father, he's the Father's intention. He is the Father's practiced covenant loyalty. And then Jesus himself said, I'm here to do the work, and I'm doing the work of him who sent me. I'm not making this up. I am expressing in my body, in my words, in my life, what God intended for me. And this morning we proclaim it. Yes, Jesus, that's who you are, and that's what you do. And we proclaim our participation in that. We proclaim the death of Jesus. His flesh died on the cross for us. And we are here to announce it by eating and by drinking. We announce that Jesus is Lord. Let us announce with vigor.